in there, and you've got that guy who speaks in the movies, he's got these big deep echoey voices. I just felt like that then. Well, it's lovely to be back. Claire and I always enjoy coming to visit. I wish we could do it more, but I've been so busy preaching elsewhere or doing my studies, it's difficult to come back. But when we come back, there is a real sense of God's presence here. And it's lovely to be with you again, and we'll be here this evening as well. So that's a privilege for us. The wonderful thing about the privilege that we have is that we can enter into God's presence and know it's real. But there are many people who are not yet Christians will sometimes look at what we do, sometimes listen to the way we sing, sometimes wonder at why we dance and rejoice, and they look at us and think we're crazy. Now that's not their fault to look at us that way. But they don't understand at the moment the joy and the privilege that we have. You see, it's nothing that we have done in our lives that have made us good before God. Nothing. I am no better than anybody else in that world. No better. And it's nothing that I could do in my life that can make God love me. I can't do anything to make him love me. But God loved me first. And he chose me to enjoy him. And when I recognized that wonderful message of love for me, that I could come and know the Creator God, by faith I believed it. And it's opened up to me a whole world that I never knew existed. And my heart is for people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior yet. There is such a joy and such a transformation of life that you would never ever experience before. It is in Jesus Christ there is true life. And I'll tell you why. Number one, this life does not last forever. Whatever material things, whatever we have, will not last forever. It will never bring us eternal joy. It will never bring us eternal pleasure, because it will all pass away. Now, my wife and I have just bought a new car. We've saved up for it. But I do not put my whole joy in that, because we could be driving home today and it could break down, and then I look at it and think it's a piece of rubbish. No material things in this life will bring you satisfaction. The reason being is because people will go from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, because they can't find the perfect meaning in life in things. That's why they go from one to another to another. But we as God's people recognize that what we have in this life are all blessings, and we thank God for them. But our main hope and our main stay and our main joy and our main privilege is in Jesus Christ, because he is eternal. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is a relationship that is not just for time on this earth, but it's a relationship that is eternal forever. And we have the privilege, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, of coming into that knowledge. But what we must never ever do is have a go at those people who are not yet Christians and say, we've got something you haven't got. We should never do that. And I don't think we'd ever do that. But in love, our hearts just want to reach out to them and say, we have something that is so wonderful. We want you to experience it. And in life, we must always look at something that makes an impression on our lives and human society. As I mentioned at Christmas time, Jesus Christ came into the world. And he was such an important man that history had to be split in two. There's no one ever in this world who has ever split history in two. There's been loads of important people, but they've never impacted human society like Jesus Christ. Now, if a person wants to be a real man, if a person wants to be a real woman, If a person wants to really open their eyes and their minds and their hearts to think what life is about, we must turn our faces to Jesus. Because nobody's impacted human society like Christ. Why? And I want you to know this Christ. We were worshipping this morning, and I really enjoyed worshipping in God's presence. That is my privilege. That is our privilege. So I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 21 to 31. And what we're going to look at is this. It's God's glory. We're going to consider God's glory. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, that is the Ten Commandments, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets years ago testified. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So anybody can receive a right standing, a right place in God if they believe in what Jesus Christ did for them. In other words, you will never be right with God by just living a good life. You'll never be right with God by being a good husband. You'll be never right with God by being a good father. These are all good things. You'll never be right with God by being a good mother. You'll never be right with God by living a wonderful charitable life out there. Although God wants us to do all of these things. The only way that we can be right with God, the only way that we can have wonderful fellowship with God, is through Jesus Christ. And it is believing that Jesus Christ is our way to have a relationship with God the Father. When we can have that, changes our life, and it's powerful. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. To everyone who believes in it, there is no difference. In other words, it doesn't matter who you are. Rich man, poor man, doesn't matter to anyone who believes. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be the just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On observing the law? No, but on faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law, or from apart from doing things. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Or in other words, the God of the whole world? Yes, he is. He's the God of the whole world. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised, that is the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? No, not at all. Rather, we uphold it. This is a difficult passage to understand. I'm not going to bring it out this morning. But I just want to fix our eyes on one verse. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does this mean? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not a nice thing to say to people. But it's true of every one of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone in this world have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? God set a standard. He set a standard and wanted us to live by that standard. But none of us have ever, ever kept that standard up. We'll never attain to that standard that God has set for us. Do we sometimes think of thoughts that we shouldn't? And if we're truthful, we all do. I think things that I should not even think about. Do we say things that we shouldn't really say? Have we done things in our life that we shouldn't really done, that we should have really done? I have. I've done many things in my life. Therefore, I have sinned in God's eyes, and I've come short of his standard. And as a result of that, I can't come before him, because he's holy and I'm a sinner. And there's this separation. And there's no way that I can come to him, but God's made a way through Christ. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. What does this mean? Well, let me just give you an understanding then of what God's glory means. God's glory is God's presence. That's his presence. We've come into the service this morning and we have gloried in God's presence. God's presence is real. And you know, our lives were intended to share God's glory. Our lives were created to enjoy God's presence. The Bible says this in Isaiah 43. God says, I have created them for my glory. Or in other words, I have created them to experience my presence, my wonderful presence. I love being with my wife, Claire. I love being in her presence and enjoying her presence for the woman that she is. But God has created us to enjoy the presence of the Creator God. That is something that is wonderful to experience. Not only that, in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, we were chosen to experience that glory and to experience that presence and to rejoice in that presence. God has created all of us to experience him. Isn't God good? He wants you and me to experience God, to know the Creator. I don't know of anything better. I've been around many famous people in my life through the job that I've done, and it's wonderful. But there's nothing like experience the Creator. Oh, that's worlds apart, because he knows the truth of what life really means. You see, God didn't need us. God didn't need you or me. He didn't need to create us. But because he was a God of love, he wanted to create us. Why? So we could know him. What a wonderful privilege. Do you know what that means upon all of your lives? That means this. God has a purpose for every single person in this building. He has a purpose for everyone. He has a purpose for everyone in the world. That means we are significant in this life to God. There are many people out there who don't think much of me in this life. Many people think I'm not that significant in this life. I don't hold massive government positions. I don't hold this good job, that good job. I don't know this person, that person. Therefore, Wesley, he's insignificant. I care not. All that matters to me is God thinks I'm special. God thinks I'm significant. God looks on my life and he says, I love you. And I'm going to give you meaning to this life. You are significant to me. You are important to me because God created you and he wants you to know him. What is the real purpose in this life for us? Everybody's after a meaning, aren't they? Everybody wants a meaning in life. Everybody's running here, there and everywhere to find the real meaning and the real purpose of life. And usually it ends in tears because they can't find it. Because they're not looking in the right way. God says, I'm the way, the truth and the life. He is the truth. He's the life. He is the way. Because he's God and he can show you what the purpose of life is. And what is the purpose of life? It's this. It's to fulfill God's reason for creating us. And that is to worship him. Our purpose in life is to worship God. That's why we've come here today, to worship God. Our purpose in life is to worship him, the Creator, who knows all things and knows what is best for you and knows what is best for me. And in worshiping God the Creator will start speaking into your lives. And he'll start directing your lives. And he'll start ministering into your hearts. And he'll tell you all the wonders of himself. And he'll start telling you all the wonders of this world. And he'll start telling you all the wonders of his love for you. The purpose in life is to worship him. It says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I've been in the presence, as I said earlier, of many important people. And I've experienced a certain amount of joy in their presence. I can't deny that. But when I get to know the person, I start seeing in them that there's faults in them. And if somebody was to spend time with me, they would start finding out that there's faults in me. Therefore, I can't fully enjoy their presence because they're not perfect, because no one is. But God is perfect. And when we come into his presence, there's fullness of joy because we know that God is perfect. And we realize we come before a perfect God. And we realize we come to a God who is the truth. And therefore we experience joy, fullness of joy, bubbling over, overflowing, bursting with joy, because we suddenly realize we are in the presence of truth. Perfect truth. No sin. He is perfect. And our hearts just bubble over with the joy of knowing God. I love God. I love Jesus Christ, my Lord. Do you love him? Do you love experiencing him in his presence? Anyone can experience it. Anyone can have this love. When you come to church, church is not a series of duties. It's not a series of obligations. People come to church and they think, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do this. If that was the case, I wouldn't be coming to church. I come to church because I've got a relationship with God. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about duties, friends. Sometimes we burden ourselves, oh, if I haven't done this, God doesn't love me. Rubbish. God loves you just the way you are. It's a relationship that God wants. You don't have to do duties. You don't have to tip your knees and all of this. And you don't have to do this job or that job to gain God's affection. He loves you the way you are. And all he wants is a relationship with you. My Christian life is built on relationship with God. And it's the best relationship. He intended for me to enjoy his presence and to enjoy a relationship. Oh, that you would know it. Oh, that you would know the relationship of God with God. You see, Jesus Christ is the life and the way. Life in Jesus Christ, life in God, is life that is fulfilling. Are you truly fulfilled in your life? I can honestly say, I am. Not because I've got things, although I'm thankful. I'm truly fulfilled in life because I have Jesus Christ. Using that old cheesy phrase in a movie, he completes me. He does. I'm complete in him. He fulfills everything that I ever need because he knew what I needed. God fulfills everything that I need. In him is life. And when I go out there, I see life with different eyes. I see the world differently to those who do not know the Lord. That's my privilege, and I pray that others will come to know it. But when I see life out there through the eyes of Jesus, it changes my view of the world. And the world becomes a wonderful place. And my relationship with him becomes wonderful. God has intended for all of us to share his glory. That was the intention. But here's the problem. All have sinned and fallen short of experiencing God's presence. So there must have been a time that man must have enjoyed God's presence. And then there was a time when man didn't enjoy God's presence. So we were intended to enjoy it. And we only have to go back to Genesis. Adam lived in the presence of God. He lived in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus walked in the garden. Jesus, the Son of God, walked in the garden with Adam. Adam and Eve knew the presence of God. They enjoyed it. Physically and spiritually, Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. Can you imagine walking with God in a garden? God, he comes down and he's standing next to you and you walk and you talk with him. That's unbelievable. Adam walked with God. Adam enjoyed the very presence of God. And he enjoyed the very presence of God because God made him perfect. He was upright, so he could enjoy God face to face. There wasn't any sin between them. He enjoyed God's presence. But there was a problem. God said to Adam, "Adam, you can enjoy everything you ever want in this garden. But there's one thing, Adam, I don't want you to do. Don't eat of this tree. Don't eat the fruit, the apple on the tree. Don't eat it. You've got everything else, Adam. Just don't eat that." But Adam didn't listen to God. You see, God knows what we all need. God knows what is best. And the reason why God told Adam not to eat of that was to put it like this. Adam, do you trust me that I know what is right for you? Do you completely submit your life to me, knowing exactly as your creator what I know is right for you, what I know can give you complete fulfillment and joy? Do you trust me, Adam? But Adam didn't trust God. And he decided he'd take the apple. And in doing that, he disobeyed God and said, "I don't trust you." And in Adam doing that, he sinned against God. And sinning is just disobedience against God. That's all it is. It's disobedience. We disobey God every day. He disobeyed God and said, "No, I don't think your way is the right way. You may be God the creator, but it's not the right way. I'm going to choose my own direction." And from that moment on, he lost the presence of God. He made a decision that, "I don't want you, God. I don't want your presence. I don't want to know the true creator. I'll do my own thing." And you see his life. It was a series of difficult and tragic events. But everybody has sinned, disobeyed God because of Adam. Because Adam was the first man and Eve was the first lady. And through them, their corrupt bodies now, because they sin. And we all got corrupt bodies because we die. One of the outcomes of disobeying God was physical death. They were designed to live forever. So in their corrupt bodies because of sin, when Eve bore a baby, that baby became corrupt in a sense. That baby was born to die. And subsequently, baby after baby after baby after baby after baby after until now, we're all corrupt because of Adam. And the Bible says we're all sinners because of Adam. All the sin is upon us now. And because of that, we can't experience the presence of God. We don't know the presence of God. Nor do we ever want to come into the presence. We don't have any desire to come into the presence of God because of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of it. We once were in it. But now, because of sin, we're not. And we have no desire to come into the presence of God and enjoy it. But Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says this, and it's so important. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. When we sin and fallen short of the glory of God, we have disobeyed God. God is angry towards us. And as a result, there is a punishment. And it is an eternal punishment. It's a punishment that is eternal in hell. And do you know what that is? It's an eternal punishment that you'll never ever experience the presence of God. Because if we don't want to know him here, we won't certainly want to know it in eternity. And God will say, "Depart from me into hell in a place where you will not know my presence anymore. You'll not know it. You're under my wrath. You have sinned." But the wonderful message of the gospel, friends, is this. There is power in the gospel message. In my own words, I can't ask anybody to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. I can't, in my own words, ask people to say, "Look, this is the position that you're in. this is a position where I'd love you to be in. I can't do that. It's only God that can change your heart. It's only God that can change the heart of a man, woman, or child. God wants you to come into his presence. God wants you to enjoy his presence. And the good news is this. God has found a way to restore all of us back into the presence of God once again. God has found a way through his Son Jesus Christ to restore us and into his presence and enjoy him all over again. And it is this in verse 21 of chapter 3. But now a righteousness of God has been revealed. I have had the but now in my life. Jesus Christ did something for me. Where Adam failed to live a perfect life and a life that was obeying God perfectly, which resulted in all of us not enjoying God's presence, Jesus Christ came into the world, God the Son came into the world, and obeyed God perfectly. And he also went to the cross to take the punishment for us that was we were supposed to bear. But he took the punishment. Adam, the first Adam, failed and condemned us to a life out of the presence of God. But Jesus Christ has come, who is called the second Adam. And the second Adam, Jesus Christ, has come and he's lived a life in perfect obedience to God on our behalf. And he's taken the punishment for all our sins on our behalf. That all we need to do now is look to Jesus Christ and say, I believe, Jesus Christ, that what you have done for me means now that I can have a relationship with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from that wrath and you will be saved into the presence of God. Adam failed, Jesus Christ passed the test, fulfilled everything that he needed to do for you and for me. The wonderful thing is this, Jesus Christ has restored our position into the presence of God. We were once in a position, but because of disobedience, we lost that position. And Jesus has come along because he loves us all and he's restored that position. Isn't that wonderful? That's why, with many tears, I can praise God. Because I realize that I am in the presence of God. I enjoy his presence. I enjoy fellowship with God. And it is hope and it is joy. Unspeakable. I can't even mention how wonderful it is in this life. Jesus Christ has restored us back. Not only that, you know, it's not only this wonderful presence that we enjoy today, but we have a future hope. We have a future hope that one day when we die, and we all will die, every single one of us, but those who believe in Jesus Christ not only experience God's presence and joy today and his peace that passes all understanding, but because of Jesus Christ, we have a future hope. And that is in heaven, forever and forever and forever and forever and forever, we will experience the presence of God. And you know, God rejoices over you. He rejoices over you because you enjoy his presence again. So we rejoice in him, and God was here rejoicing over us. Jesus Christ has restored our position. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But now, a righteousness, a right way unto God has been revealed through Jesus Christ. All who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done, and believe on him that he is the only way for us to restore relationship back to the Father, we can enjoy that presence. So I just wonder if we can just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can have a relationship with you. Lord, it's not of my doing. I can never be good in your sight. I was a sinner. I was away from your presence. But you sent your Son to live a perfect life for me, which I couldn't live. You sent your Son to die on a cross and take the ultimate punishment, which was supposed to be for me. And through him, I believe he has paid everything for me. And when I believe on what he has done, I have now been restored into your presence. What a wonderful privilege. I thank you, Lord, and I just pray that every one of us here will come into a fresh understanding that we have been restored back again into your presence. The privilege of enjoying you, God, because of Jesus and what he has done. And in this time, right now, as eyes are closed, I just want to put something out there. This life is wonderful. This life is a great life. And it is a life that we must live because we've been given breath. And it's a terrible indictment upon us if we do not live this life to its fullness. But this life cannot meet all the needs on its own. Only Jesus Christ can show you true meaning to life. If there is anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Saviour, there is a life of joy that you could never experience that is waiting for you. There is a life of peace that you will never experience apart from God, because it's an eternal peace. If there is anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, and you want to know him as your Saviour, the only one who can bring forgiveness for the disobedience that we have all done against God, and it's only through him that you can be right with God. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, and you will be restored into the kingdom of God, into the presence of God forever. And you will have peace and joy and assurance, and you will have a life that you will never ever experience. So while all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I want to encourage you out of love, because what I found is something wonderful. What I found is something beautiful. Do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour? Do you want to experience God's presence? Because if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, you are still in that state of sin and you can't know God. And God's wrath is upon you. But if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, God's love reaches out to you and says, there's a way to know me. And you will never ever in your whole life ever be condemned again. You will never be under my wrath. You will always be under my love. And my privilege and my inheritance and my glory. Is there anyone here who wants to know this wonderful message? Is there anyone here who wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour? If there is, no one's looking, just put your hand up. Then okay. If any of this touches your heart, because this faith is real, God is real. God is real, friends. An eternity with God is real. And an eternity away from God is real. And the joy that we experience is real. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have met with us today. I just pray, Lord, give us a fresh revelation of yourself and the privilege of knowing you in your presence. And for anyone, Lord, who doesn't know you yet as their Saviour, Lord, I just pray in love, would you reach out to them and show them your love for them. You will show them your love for them that they can never ever experience from anyone else, because it's eternal and it's deep and it's wide and it's long and it's forever. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things and give you the glory. Amen.